Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. I seek refuge, protection with Allah. من الشيطان, from الشيطان الرجيم, be rejected, the cursed enemy. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, that is the merciful one that gives us benefits without us even asking. The merciful redeemer, the merciful one that gives us redemption and renewal after we have not been as obedient as we should have been with the first set of mercies. That is Allah, the Lord, sustainer, creator of all the worlds. You have tuned in to Words Make People. I'm your host, Michael Sahir from Indianapolis, Indiana, and this show is Words Make People. Our topic today is going to be on the correct steps, procedures for sighting the Hilal, the new moon, as well as a pre-recorded program with email. I'm sorry, the first part is going to be a discussion with email Salim Mukman from Detroit, Michigan. And the second part would be a pre-recorded show on the etiquettes of Ramadan with email Nasser Ahmed from Miami, Florida. We will play our opening theme song, and we'll be right back in a minute. In the meantime, call a friend. Tell them to tune in. We'll be right back in about 2 minutes, inshallah. This is our theme song.
Make your world go round.
Assalamu alaikum, welcome back to Words Made People. I'm your host, Michael Sahir, and we're here today to bring you a program I think you will find very interesting. Inshallah, we say God willing, we're going to be discussing just how to cite the Hillel with Imam Salim Mukman. Hopefully he'll be joining us soon. I'm looking for his number now. We know it is important for us to learn our religion and to practice our religion. Following our format of our program, this show is titled Words Make People, and the first thing that we do is we recite words from the Quran, the best collection collected by God to humanity, the best collection of words or the words of the Quran. Yes, collected by God, created by God, collected by God. You may say, no, mankind collected the books. No, mankind collected what God has already collected and just put it in formats that we can share and communicate it. But the Quran is a book from Almighty God, Allah, our Creator, and we are very thankful for this blessing of having this sacred book. Before reading the Quran, we always see God's protection from Satan, the rejecting enemy. The book is so precious and so special to us. We just don't take it for granted. We just don't pick it up and read it as we do any other thing to read. We first mentally and spiritually, you may say morally, prepare ourselves before reading the words of the Quran. And so there are two phrases that we say in this preparation to read this sacred text. The first phrase is, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. And that is, I seek refuge, protection with Allah from Satan, the rejected enemy. And the next phrase we say before reading the Quran, we say, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. And once that is said, then we are mentally or spiritually prepared to read from the Quran. And we're going to read from chapter 10, verse 5. Chapter 10, verse 5. Chapter 10 is named after the prophet Jonah. You know about Jonah and the whale, if we were told. In our church life, Jonah and the whale, is referring to that particular prophet of God, Jonah. In the Arabic, we say Eunice. And as you notice that many of the names in Arabic that begin, in English, that begin with the letter J. In Arabic, they begin with the letter Y. When we do a transliteration, you know the Arabic letter is not Y, it's Yeah, but the Arabic letter Yeah, which is equivalent to the letter Y. And so, like, for example, the name John is Yahya, Yusuf is Joseph is Yusuf, Jacob is Yaqub. In this case here, Jonah is Eunice. And a point we had shared with our Talim this past Tuesday is that letters that begin, the letter J was non-existent in the time of the prophets. But in fact, be told that the English as a language was not existent in the time of the prophets. And so the letter J, the 10th letter of our English alphabet, is a relatively new letter. It is barely 500 years old. So you find, for example, the Jews will say Yahweh, but in English we say Jehovah. Again, once again, the Y and the J are used interchangeably, but the J is a new letter. If you look it up in any dictionary, and please do for your own edification, don't just go by what I say. for your own study, go and study how old is the letter J. And you will see that it is right at 500 years old. And maybe that's being generous. And that's an important conversation for us to have because we need to know our religion. And people are giving us religion, but we don't do we know our religion. And we can only know our religion if you study origins, the beginnings of a lot of things that may bring us, it may shock us to a degree. But we're going to read from chapter 10 of the Quran, verse 5. And it says here, Huwa al-Azhi ja'ala al-Shamsi Dayan Kamara. It says that Allah, it is He, Allah, who made Ja'ala. It says Ja'ala. It don't say Kalika. Kalika says created. It says Ja'ala. It says He made the sun, the Shamsa, and for the gift daylight, and He gave us the moon. The moon is Kama. In this case here, it's saying the Shamsi, the sun, to give us light. This right here, Diyan, a shiny light, and the moon. The El Kamara gave us the Nuran, a reflected light. As you know, the sun does not have, sorry, the moon does not have its own light, but it reflects the sunlight. And Allah tells us that He made it, He made this for us. He gave us the moon for a specific purpose. It says, Wa qaddarahu manzat. Menazila, so that we can determine phases, or that we can know the number of time. We can count the number of years. So Allah is telling us here in the Quran that He gave us the sun and the moon, and I'm referring more so now to the moon as a mean or a way of measuring, of keeping time. I'm going to bring in our special guest, Imam Salim Mukman, at this time here, and see if he have any reflections on this verse. Okay, and my screen just went haywire. Hold on, Imam Salim. I was getting ready to bring you on, and this tablet here, I'm using the tablet today, because I'm not having much success with my computer. So just hold on, brother. I'm going to bring you on here shortly, inshallah. I'm going to bring you on here shortly. Just give me a second. You're listening to Words Made People, but also tune in on Tuesdays for Brother Rashid. He has a show called Your Health and You. And on Wednesday, we have programs for Brother Mark Shaheed. He has on Wednesday and Thursday, he has some workshops. Hopefully we'll mention that more later. Right now I'm trying to bring in Imam Salim Mukman. I think I got him this time. Imam Salim, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Ramadan Mubarak.
Yes, Ramadan Mubarak. Alhamdulillah.
Yes, alhamdulillah. Yeah, thank you, sir, for and really at the last minute, I just really asked him last night to come and join us today. And you know, he was busy last night. I watched you on YouTube. You had a big smile almost the whole time you were on there, seeing the believers around the country show their excitement.
Yes.
As they were citing the Hilal. So hopefully we get into that just a minute. We want to continue with the flow we had with the Quran reading. You have any comments on that chapter 10, verse 5, please? I'd like to share with
What's the chapter again?
Chapter 10, Yunus, Ayat, verse 5. Yeah. With
okay,
this, that
yes,
Allah made the sun
five.
And the moon. Yes, sir.
Yes. And the a comment, is, since we are speaking on Ramadan, or during Ramadan, the idea of the sun and the moon, and it's measured out that we can count the number of years, and we use it to count the months, we use it to count the days. The sun and the moon, the movement of the sun and the moon, the movement of the earth and the moon around the sun. Yes. Those are the two that we're engaging with to determine time, to count time in terms of days, weeks, months, years, etc. So when we're looking at Ramadan, what comes to my mind is Ramadan is a ritual month, we could say, and it's a calendar month. They're both used when we're talking about, we use them for telling the times. Even as the verse that says the crescents. The crescents are used for telling the times. And the Hajj. So why would it say and the Hajj? Because the Hajj is a ritual. So we use, we know something I mentioned last night, our common sense knowledge in the United States of America. Our common sense knowledge tells us we use the moon and the sun for telling times. That's how we tell the time. And we know, we may not know how the astronomers do it, but we know they're used to make the calendars. And the calendars have days and weeks on the calendar, and months and years, right?
Yes,
so
sir.
We know that. Now, we know a calendar, we make calendars ahead of time. When we want to talk about telling the time, we make calendars so we can tell the time, and we know the months and the days ahead of time. We know today is Sunday. We know tomorrow will be Monday. We don't have to wait until the sunrise tomorrow and say it's Monday morning. Now I can make my plans. We know logistically that won't work, right? We can't wait until Monday comes before we realize it's Monday. We can say, we can count the time and we can count the hours and say, so many hours from now, it's going to be Monday for everybody. And we can say, this is April the 3rd, on June the 4th, we will meet. We don't wait until June the 1st to see if June the 1st is going to be today or the next day, right? We all agree by the calendar, this is June the 1st. So we understand that in terms of using the sun and the moon for time, for calculating times. Now, when it comes to the ritual, we don't use ahead of time. We don't use a calendar like that. We cite the crescent. We start the sighting of the crescent, the actual sighting of the crescent, and then we count 30 nights and we have the Eid. So the first of Ramadan, according to the ritual, is not going to be the same for everybody, because everybody will not cite the crescent the same day. So you don't have a commercial calendar of Ramadan, the ritual, even though people are trying to commercialize it.
Yes, yeah, because a little bit more clarity, and I think I know what you're saying, but I want to make sure that our listeners today or who hear this recording later, the show will be archived. To spend a little bit more time on Ramadan, the calendar, comparative to Ramadan, the ritual. So we don't get those two confused.
Yes, in terms of time, making months. We're talking about months now, right?
Yes.
So if you make a calendar, let's say I want to make a calendar for 2022, right? You already have Ramadan on the calendar, but you didn't take the moon to make the calendar. And you can make a calendar for everybody.
Yes.
Right? We'll use this calendar. It will not be according to an actual sighting every month. That would not be practical. You know, to make it easy, we do the same for January through December. We already know when December the 1st is. Whether we sight the moon or not, it's going to be December the 1st. We agree on that.
Right.
For commercial uses.
So yes.
You know, we want to fly
Ramadan
somewhere. That would be Ramadan, the calendar.
Yeah, for Ramadan being a month on the calendar, but with the ritual is when we get into the fasting. Is that correct?
Yes, the ritual month is the fasting month of Ramadan to perform the fast and follow the rituals of Ramadan.
Mm-hmm.
People in New York, the East Coast may not see the crescent.
Mm-hmm.
The West Coast can see the crescent. So to follow the ritual, the West Coast will start when they see the crescent. The East Coast will start the next day when they see the crescent. They both have a different They both have a different first day of Ramadan because we're not looking at it commercially speaking. We're looking at it ritually speaking.
Right.
People in the southern states can see the crescent. They'll start one day. People in the northern states will start another day in the United States. All of the United States don't have to start the same day. That's okay because we're talking ritual, not commercial.
Yes.
Now, on the commercial calendar, we all have Ramadan first the same day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't make the Hajj. Let's say I'm going to go make Hajj. So on September 1st, I buy a plane ticket. I go to Hajj. Then, while I'm there, they say the moon a different day. That means I missed the day. They signed it a day. I missed the day. So my ticket is no good because that day don't even exist. You understand what I'm saying?
Sir.
So you can't wait until the last minute to sight crescents for commercial usages. So
we just go with
the calendar that somehow someone makes. That's the calendar month. The ritual month may differ. So the 30th day of Ramadan is the Eid day. The 30th day of Ramadan is the Eid day. That could be the 30th day of Ramadan on the calendar or the first day of Shawwal on the calendar.
And that's where we have a challenge at. Because I mean, it happens every year. That there seems to be some confusion on the actual key day, because we've been taught we have to wait to see the Hilal, which is the first show of light.
For the start of the Ramadan, that's correct. The problem is...
But we also do a fighting to determine the Eid, too.
Well... We say we do, but we really don't, because it's not practical. I'm saying things that you may hear for the first time. To cite the crescent for the Eid is not practical. We really don't do it. We say we do it. That's, the confusion is language versus what we really do. We use language, but we don't do it. We use the language. The moon was cited Friday night, we use that language. The moon was sighted Friday. No one saw a crescent Friday. We use that language.
No, it's impossible.
It was impossible.
What are they doing? They're
looking at the new moon and saying, using the language, the crescent was sighted. because they don't know how science hasn't developed for them to determine how to see the crescent. When the crescent
appears. Well, let's talk about that. If you can give a list like A, B, C, like in a sequence of events and or steps, not events, I'm sorry, the proper steps for sighting the Hilal. And I'm going to take a moment here and say this. We should make it, and we, this is us as Muslims. We are still relatively new Muslims. So in order, the same as we had to learn how to make Salat, you know, first at Fatiha, it's the same way we had to learn the things. Let us do a list of steps for sighting the new moon, but I want to make a distinction, and I think you may agree. The language new moon and the crescent moon is two different phases of the moon. We need to first think to understand that. But the new moon is actually completely 100% no moon. That's really the new moon when the moon is first born. Comparative to the next night, or maybe two nights later, after the new moon is born, then you begin to see that little bitty arc, like the letter Ra, they say. So if she can walk us through how to, when to go look, where to go look, etc., for teach us on how to fight. Yes, sir.
Yes. Okay. Okay. We'll start with the first thing. I'm talking to the common sense person in America. First, that's my audience. I'm imagining that's who's listening on the phone. That's my audience. My audience know what a calendar is, right? My audience know what a calendar is.
Okay.
For Muhammad's audience, they know what a calendar is. Not the common ones. They don't know what a calendar is.
Good point.
You got to imagine. Because they don't read, they don't write, they can't count. You learn numbers and letters at the same time, right? So they don't count.
Sir.
They don't count. They can't count like that. They don't have calendars. I hear people teaching, they already had a calendar, the calendar was already made. They didn't write. The common person.
Imagine.
Muhammad didn't read.
They
didn't have books.
Yeah, you know, but let me just say, because you're really turning off the light bulbs in my head. The calendar that we use for the Hijrah didn't come until, I think I read about 30-something years after the passing of the prophet. So I just want to just add that into what you're saying, that we in 2022, we think we have a lot of modern conveniences in thinking and understanding that the companions of the prophet themselves, they did not have. You made a good point.
Yes.
They
that's
didn't.
Right. Common, I call it
we got,
common sense knowledge. Common sense
knowledge.
Their common sense knowledge is not as high as our common sense knowledge is today. We take
good
for
point.
Granted our common sense knowledge. They had a higher common sense knowledge than we have. No. We have a higher common sense knowledge. So you have to imagine if you can't count, right? There is no calendar to look at, right? Then what would you say to your audience? Just fast when you see it and break it fast when you see it. What else can I tell you?
You know, but just to push that point, I mean, we got watches on our wrists. We got calendars on the wall. They didn't have the convenience.
Common sense. Common sense knowledge, right? Okay, now let's go with our audience. Because I say to people, I'm not going to violate the integrity of the Hadith. At the same time, he's telling them, count 30, which is encouraging them to learn to count. But he didn't say count 30 Shaban. That's penciled in. That's parentheses penciled in. Just count 30. That's what I'm showing. You have to think. Just think for a moment. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's look at our audience today. You know what a calendar is. So we look on the calendar.
Mm-hmm.
The calendar is going to say Ramadan starts in April, around the 1st of April, according to
mm-hmm.
the moon site. How do we know when the 1st of April is going to be? Now, we're a people who don't watch the sky and count the moons to know the skies and the seasons and write down the seasons as we see the moon. We don't do that. That's not our audience. Our audience is look at this at the calendar. Everybody has a calendar.
On the wall.
On the wall. So there's this calendar saying, okay, June's coming. That means it's going to be, get warm. So I better
mm-hmm.
prepare for the weather when it gets warm. December is coming, so it's going to get cold. I prepare for the season when it gets cold. That's why they make the calendars to fit the seasons, so you can prepare for the seasons ahead of time. Makes sense, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Everybody uses a calendar. Okay. So because of that, we can narrow it down. Here are the steps. We narrow it down. Ramadan is going to be around the 1st of April.
Mm-hmm.
The same people that made that calendar, they're called astronomers. The astronomers make the calendars. They have also now made a chart that can tell you when it's possible for you to see the crescent. That's not on the calendar. New moon is on the calendar, but they don't put the crescent on the calendar because the crescent
mm-hmm.
is not seen by the same people on the same day. So they're estimating what we would call an Islamic calendar is estimated. It's not actual. It's estimated.
Correct. Okay.
And everybody
well,
can
do this here.
We estimated. That's
right.
The calendar.
So teach us the steps. Say, we want everybody in the math shit to know how to cite the new moon. What do they need to know?
Yes.
What's the first thing they need
I'm
to know?
I'm going to show
you. The second thing.
But, okay, that's what I'm giving you. The first step is to know when Ramadan is coming. That's the first step. Step
okay.
number one. Check
yes,
the
sir.
Calendar. Step number two. You can, now everyone may not have access to a computer and to go to a website to get the graph from the astronomer. So there's enough of us that have Wi-Fi now. The people I'm talking to, my audience, they have Wi-Fi. Most of them have Wi-Fi.
Okay.
Most of them have a phone. They call into a conference call. This is my audience, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, someone can go and check the calendar to say the moon can be sighted for us on this day, on the second day, on the 2nd of April, we know we can see the crescent. On the 1st of April, according to the astronomer, we cannot see the crescent. We have that much knowledge now, right?
Okay.
So
mm-hmm.
what we can do one or two things in the next step. We can go look Friday, anticipating you're not going to see it. That's what most people
where
do.
Where would we look? Where would we look?
Okay. Let me put this little step, then I go through that. Now,
okay.
The next day, you go look and you see it. You know you're going to see it, and you see it. If it's not cloudy, you're going to see it. And you see it. Okay. On Friday and Saturday, you go and you look where the sun is setting. This is for the common, everyday person. Look where the
okay.
sun is setting. Then the sun is going to go down. As the sun goes down below the horizon, the sky is going to be red. It's going to have a reddish-like sky. Give yourself
right.
about 5 minutes, 10 minutes, and just stand there and watch in the direction where the sun went down. And go a little to the left. Just move your eyes a little to the left of that area and watch the sky, and you'll see the moon appear. The moon is rising, is setting right after the sun. So you don't have to be there all night. You have to start when the sun sets and give yourself about 15 minutes. It's going to be a, just a crescent. You see it. It's just a crescent. Just a line. You see the outside line.
Like a curve.
Yes.
Is that fair to say? A curve.
Yes.
A little bit thin curve of light.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Everyone knows. Everyone knows what the moon looks like in America. That's common sense.
Well, you know what? But see, for a lot of people don't. A lot of people think that the full moon is the new moon. They just, you know, we were not taught this in grade school.
I know, but what I'm saying is this. Step one, you got to go by step one, right?
Yes.
Step one, when you look on the calendar is going to say new moon. That's step number one. That's how you know when to go look. A full moon, that's in the middle of the month. So you're not going to look in the middle of the month. Because the calendar is going to say, look, when is the full moon? A new moon.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you know what day to look.
Gotcha.
You know not to look in the middle of the month because the calendar is not going to tell you new moon. The calendar is going to say, full moon is going to say new moon.
True. But I know people, I'm even one of them, for a long time, because we just wouldn't talk moon and sun the way we became a Muslim. I learned more. And a lot of people thought that new moon was the full moon. We just didn't know.
I know.
It's not a bad thing.
But now, when we go through the steps, I'm going through the steps, and my audience is not that. My audience today I'm talking to, their common sense level is a little higher than that. The common sense level is new moon. Everybody knows what the new moon is. I have to assume that in my audience. I can't spend a lot of time scientifically talking about what the first crescent looks like. That's not for my audience. It has to be 3 degrees thick, 5 degrees thick. My audience don't know what a degree is. But my audience know what the moon looks like. When I'm showing you, my audience going to know. But my audience don't know. The moon has to be at least 6 degrees above the horizon of the Earth. They can't measure that. They don't have the mind, the tools, the imagination. They don't have that. So when you're looking, for the crescent, the moon. But they know the moon, and you have to know the difference between the moon in the sky and a plane that went by and left one of the trails or something. You have to know the difference between that. You have to know what you're looking at, yes. But I'm going to show you, going to explain that. So when you're looking, you'll see that the crescent will appear. The crescent is just a line. It's an outline of the moon. It's on the left side, on the right side of the moon, just a line on the right side of the moon. That's what you'll see.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, on Friday, you won't see anything because the reason you know you won't see it is because someone took a step further, check with the astronomer online now, everybody can go check, and you won't be able to see it. That's putting us ahead of the common people in many places in the United States because they have no idea about this astronomer and this graph and what have. All they know is new moon. That's all they know. Their knowledge cannot go beyond new moon. Their knowledge cannot go to crescent. So they say the moon was sighted because they looked on the calendar and they saw new moon. That's what they're doing. But they're using the language, the crescent was sighted. But the crescent wasn't sighted. So we're going in another stage of development, of knowledge, Some people are going to be left behind, still using new moon.
Mm-hmm.
Other people are going to be using the actual crescent. That's where we're at right now today.
Yeah,
okay.
Well, let's, before we end this segment, I would like to ask if anybody who's listening, if they have any questions to ask, you know, Celine, about the process of sighting the new moon, press one on your phone and we'll bring you into the conversation. So this is a time to learn. And cause, but remember, you follow the new moons and the phases of the moon, I think, throughout the entire calendar year. Am I correct? So, I mean, many of us, we only get excited about the new moon about once a year during Ramadan. At the beginning and the end of Ramadan. Thereafter, we go back to the calendar that we get paid by. Or we go to
the
school by.
Yes, because one thing that we don't do, we don't look in the sky. We look in the sky. So, It's not an interest of everyone, and that's fine. Everyone is not interested. We have to know the difference between who's interested, who's not interested, who really looks, who doesn't look. There are variables that create the problem. The first problem is, in our community, we want people want to be in charge and don't know what they're in charge of. That's a variable. The other variable, we're dealing with people with an inferiority complex, so we wait for other people to tell us. People are responsible for us, and we want somebody to be responsible to tell us, and then when we get it, we act like we're the boss. That's something we have to deal with. We're the boss.
According
to the great surers of the land, the moon was not sighted, but they don't sight it. They don't look. Somebody told them.
Mm-hmm.
Then they come, you know the story, the man got the horse. It's the boss's horse. He rides in the town like it's his horse.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something we have to deal with in-house. So
yes, sir.
These are all contributing to the problem. Then we have freedom of thought, freedom of speech in America. Anybody can say the moon was sighted. You don't go to jail for it or anything. They can just say it because you have the freedom to say it. You know what I mean?
Yes, sir. That's true.
So that adds to the problem.
Well, take a few minutes.
All this adds to the problem, but we're growing as a community. I'm not condemning anyone. We're having these growth pains. The same as when we first learned Salat, five times a day, and some people still come, Brother Man, what time is Salat? You still get it today, right? What time is Salat?
True.
My answer is same time it was yesterday.
Yes, sir. We came out of a movement that had great benefit of moving with the group because we do want a community of life, but also we have to come into learning the religion for ourselves. Imam Muhammad, he really pushed that, that we have to study. We have to learn the religion, and we have to become studious-minded to where we can even begin to ask questions of each other so we can grow.
Yes.
But if you wait on someone to tell you what time Salat come in, then there's a problem.
Freedom.
But in that same vein, speak on, if you can, I know you can, if you will, speak on the freedom or the blessings of the freedom to learn how to fight the new moon and not have to depend upon, you made a point last night, we don't have a government and other people, because if they can tell you when to fast, after a while they're going to tell you when to pray, they're going to tell you when to base a cot. It's about freedom. So
that's not
the ritual.
Not freedom.
The ritual is good because he has the knowledge, but keeping the common believer, and I don't like using that term because we all common, but keeping all the believers connected with being responsible for learning their religion.
Yes.
Can you share with us some thoughts on that, please?
Yes. When it comes to the ritual, when it comes to rituals, everyone should learn the rituals themselves. That's the way Islam is structured. Islam is not a religion where you have faith and that's it. Islam is a religion. The Quran comes to enhance the intellect. Islam is a religion for the intelligent. It's not a religion to say, I believe in Allah, and that's it. And if someone else, we don't have a priesthood who's responsible for me. We have people who teach. Who teach the religion. When it comes to rituals, people, no one should be responsible for you. You should be learning and put it in your life. That's the idea of Islam. So we pray. You have an imam who leads the prayer, but you have sunnah prayers that you pray on your own.
Correct.
So you have to learn how to pray on your own. So everything is like that.
That's true.
You have to fast. I can tell you about the fast. Today we have technology. You can go on the web, on the social media. Everybody's teaching about the fast, this about the fast, that about the fast. That's all good. But the individual has to learn to fast for themselves. They have to learn when to start the fast, when to end the fast, what to eat, what not to eat. That's the responsibility of the individual. Even though you have all of these teachers.
Yeah, because if you have all these teachers on social media, and you don't know for yourself, then you can be led down the wrong road quicker because everybody on social media is not necessarily correct.
You're responsible yourself. Yes, you have to experience yourself. So what's the idea? So now,
we have a caller.
I have not performed the Hajj yet. I have not performed Hajj. I haven't had that opportunity yet. So I don't know anything about Mecca. I don't know anything about getting a hotel. I don't know anything about the clothing. I don't know anything because I have not experienced it.
Yes, sir.
Now, I can read a book. I can read a book, and the book will give me ideas. But then I could go to someone who have made the Hajj and say, will you lead me in the Hajj? And they would say, okay, I will lead you. Okay, first let's do this. Like you talk to me now. Well, this brother has been studying this. He will lead us in how to do it, that we become independent to do it ourselves. That's how we should be.
And that's the goal. Yeah, let me
Not
just call him.
Not every year
caller.
You depending on me every year. No, let me show you how to do it. Then you can do it yourself. So the first time I go through the high steps, then I say, okay, now I know how to do it. I don't need you anymore. Thank you.
What you're saying is that teach a man to fish, eat for a lifetime. Give a man to fish, eat just one time.
Yes.
So we try to teach people how to fish. Let us get this caller in. This is from the St. Louis area code, 314. Caller from 314. God damn it, again. Why am I? I must have fat fingers today. Hold on, 314. I got to do this all over again.
Okay.
I keep on trying. I think I'm sliding my finger. I think I'm tapping, and I should, and I'm not tapping the button right. Because I've done you the same way, buddy, man. You know, I got to take my time. So hold on, call us from 314. We'll get to you here in a second, inshallah. And then we're going to go from there. Okay. My goodness. Oh, there it is right there. Okay. Okay. No, they are. Call it for 314. Go ahead, please.
Assalamu alaikum to you, Imam Sa'ir, and to your very distinguished guest, my good brother and friend, Imam Salim Mukman, Mark Shaheen from the STL, Gateway City of St. Louis and Show Me State of Missouri. I want to say alhamdulillah, praise and thanks belongs to Allah first and foremost. I'm really enjoying the conversation on the sighting of the new Hilal and everything. It's good information because when you don't know that you don't know, but you might think that you know, it could sometimes bring about a lot of confusion. And of course, you know, our leader, Imam W. Dean Muhammad, said these are things that we have to do for ourselves. Matter of fact, his father even said it before he did. So sometimes we think doing for self means just food, clothing, and shelter. But it's more than that, because it becomes a responsibility. As I heard Imam Salim Mukman say, you have to learn to pray for yourself too, you know, the sunnah prayers. But it goes deeper than that in terms of assuming the responsibility for yourself. You say you're Muslim, you have to do what Muslims do, and they should learn to do in this way of life. This is a question and statement. Imam Salim Mukman, there are, to my knowledge, there are 354 days in the Hijra calendar, or some people like to refer to the lunar calendar, where it's based on that. 354 days. Is that correct?
I don't know.
Okay.
I never counted the days.
Yeah, okay. Well, it is. It's 354 days. And you have, actually, if you study it, you can go and do your own research. You don't have to accept my information. You'll have in the lunar calendar, what we call the Hijra calendar, you will actually have 6 months that will have 30 days, and you'll have 6 months that have 29 days. And if you divide it by 12, it comes out to an average of 29 and a half days. One of the reasons mathematically, because the law says in the Quran and teaching in terms of celestial bodies, they follow courses accurately. So there's no deviation in the sun. There's no deviation in the moon. So you have to wait to see if, in fact, that there would be a 30th day of fasting. All the other months, the month that precedes Shaban, that precedes Ramadan, Rajab, that precedes Shaban, and even Shawwal that comes afterwards, they all come in the same way, no different. The only difference is that the Quran was revealed in this blessed month of Ramadan, but they all come in the same. So all of those months, we'll have 30 nights, but it might not be 30 days. See, so that brings in, the point I'm making is that the introduction to the next month in the, we call the Hijra calendar, which some said the lunar calendar based on the moon, in the sighting of the new Hilal, you'll find that some of, if it's not sighted, then that means that there's another day. Now, like this year, for the month of Shaban, not only was it 30 nights, but it was 30 days. Mm-hmm.
Let me say this then. Let me respond to that.
Okay.
What you're saying to me, it sounds good, but that's not correct. But it sounds good, but it's not correct.
Okay, but what is correct? What is correct?
What's correct is, have you sighted the crescent every month to see what you're saying?
You mean year round?
So what?
Yeah.
What was that? And I missed that. Repeat that again.
Have you sighted the crescent year round every month to see what you just said is correct?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, okay.
It's
so
not
I'm
the
saying,
not. It's not the same. Okay. It's not the same. It's not the same every year. What you're saying, it sounds good, because that's the information that have come to you from places.
No. What you're saying, you said what is not the same every year for the Hijra calendar? You have 354.
All this information you were just giving, I said it sounds
mm-hmm.
good, but it's not
mm-hmm.
correct. It sounds good, but it's not correct.
But But I'm trying to find out what is correct. What is correct? If what I'm saying is incorrect, what is correct?
What I'm saying is that if you're talking about sighting the crescent and you're talking about a calendar month,
mm-hmm.
it's different than, it's going to be different than a ritual month. If you sight the crescent, what I'm saying is this. Do you know who sighted the crescent every month and count the days of each month, every month, year-round? Have you done it? I'm just showing you a point.
Right. Yeah.
What you're saying sounds good. Have you experienced looking at a crescent, count the days, then look at the crescent the next time, count the days, look at the crescent the next time, and do it year-round?
Okay, now so then when okay,
so there's
when,
no such thing as if it's not this, if it's not 29, it's 30. If you don't see it, it's 30. No, that's incorrect. That is incorrect. Let me show you how it's incorrect. Most people say if Shaban, we didn't see it Friday, so we go one more day, and it's going to be 30 days of Shaban. That's what you hear, right?
Well, that's the way it would have been this year.
Okay.
Because
now,
if that was okay.
Now, let me
ahead.
Ask this question.
All right.
Who sighted the crescent for Shaban, let's say, in the 29th or 30th of Shaban? Who sighted the crescent of Shaban?
But,
Let me ask this question. Hold on,
because we're not going to get into a conversation with people.
Yes, because
follow.
I'm trying to show you something here.
Now,
you're saying something to me, and you want me to say that's correct. I'm saying to you, it sounds good, but it's not correct.
Hold on. We are trying to get people to understand Ramadan. Then we enter into the conversation another month, which is I'm feeling we're not communicating to the audience right now, because we haven't even explained
we're not even explaining
what is Shaban. Shaban is, for those who don't know, it's a month that comes before Ramadan. So I don't think this is what we're doing now is not the intent for the show.
Mm-hmm.
Because the show is, how can people cite the Hilal? Because, I mean, even myself, I cannot even tell you right now. I can tell you all 12 months in the Gregorian calendar because I was raised in America. I can't tell you all 12 months. I mean, if I see them, I may recognize them. But if I do, you know, like, I can't tell you the sequence except for the one that comes before Ramadan, and that's a Ramadan. So that's just being this conversation at this point here, because it's
what
not
I mentioned,
productive.
Okay, yes. I mentioned that
because
earlier. We do not have a quote-unquote Islamic or Hijra calendar. Our audience don't know that.
We don't think Hijra.
Our audience have no
we
idea
don't think
of what we're talking about, a Hijra calendar. So that's another discussion.
Yeah, that's a whole nother, because we think Gregorian, and Gregorian, you speak to the average American, you say the Gregorian calendar, they're going to say, well, what is that? Well, it's because it was King Gregory, and he established this calendar that we use. You know, so there's a lot more groundwork that we need to do. It's a good conversation, I think, for the right audience. But as we always know, we have to know the audience. And these shows are being recorded. It's going to be listened to by non-Muslims as well, young Muslims. And right now, we are not doing the best service as teachers. And all three of us, I think we will see ourselves as being teachers. And
okay,
the teacher must set
the
classroom first. And so
I'm going to move to this.
Yes, sir.
You invited me here to talk about something I've studied and researched.
Yes.
So what's your question?
No.
Because if you tell me I'm not being a good teacher, I have to go. If you tell me I'm not being a good teacher, I have to go.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying this, the departure from the program.
Okay.
For the
theme. Let's go back. Let's get back to the program then, because my time is short. Let's get back to the program.
Okay, well, we're going to get there. And I'm going to do my job as the host, because this is my program last year and next year. So I'm going to set the standard and maintain the standard. So you be patient with me, because we're going to share information. We're here to teach. I'm not saying that you are a bad teacher. I'm saying this particular segment away from the focus is not productive. And all three of us are teachers. I said that first. So let's qualify the statement. We are teachers, and we have to know not just the class, the student, but also set the classroom's tone. And that's my job as the host, and I don't mind doing that. We want to educate our community to bring us to a higher level on sighting the new moon, how to sight the new moon, why we sight the new moon, and all that. And the part two we're on to now, we can come back to that later on with this audience. So please don't take it that way, because that's not the way it was meant to be. I said we. I just say one person. So this is how we're going to grow as a community, so that we can share information. Because I remember myself just 30 years ago, we outside looking for the new moon at 10, 11, 12 o'clock. We didn't know. But we had sincere hearts. And over the years, Allah blessed us to come into our understanding. And various Muslims are new in our community. And we need to bring them along. And Imam Salim, you have the training. You put the time in. You got the information. So that's why you're here. And so let's teach the people. And that's all I'm saying. Words make people. And this is done with the best respect and love for everyone talking now and everyone listening. This is how we're going to grow as a community, and probably no other way. So, alhamdulillah. So, but Imam Salim, because you are the guest, and I always have to respect my guest. Is there any other things that we need to know? Brother Marcus, your mama, I'm going to put you back on mute this time.
Thank you, sir.
I want
Thank you
to focus.
Alhamdulillah.
Yes,
thank
sir.
You very much. Assalamu alaikum.
Yes, alaikum assalam. Brother Ibn Salim, anything else that we need to know so we can grow as thinkers in our religion in regards to Ramadan and fasting?
It's a lot to say. Is there a specific question you may have?
Yes, sir.
Because we were on the subject of citing how to cite the crescent, the steps.
Yes, sir.
We're not complete with the steps yet. So we got to the calendar.
Mm-hmm.
We got to the calendar. We don't have a Hebrew calendar. We don't have that. We don't use that. I'm talking to the common, everyday common sense person in our community. We don't use a Hijra calendar for commercial usage in any kind of way.
Mm-hmm.
I have to imagine that with my audience. So we're not dealing with a commercial calendar, an Islamic commercial calendar. We're dealing with the ritual month of Ramadan, not the commercial month of Ramadan. If there is a such thing as a Hijra or a Islamic calendar. We don't use it. We don't use it, and we don't use it interacting with other people. We don't use it. Everyone uses the same calendar around the world so that we can synchronize our days and for commercial usages. If I fly to Saudi Arabia, I don't switch calendars. I use the same calendar. If I fly Delta, they're going to say on December the 1st, we have a ticket for you to fly to Saudi Arabia, and you fly back on December the 7th. It's the same December 1st for Saudi Arabia. It's the same December 7th for Saudi Arabia. There's no changing. We've all agreed to that calendar. Yes, sir. If there is a Islamic calendar, it has to be made ahead of time, therefore it has to be estimated. It has to be estimated based upon something because the crescent appears at different times for different people. So you have to estimate and then say, well, here's the calendar. We all are going to agree this is the calendar. But it's not actual.
Sir.
We have to understand that, step one. Once we have the idea of when Ramadan starts by looking on the calendar and seeing new moon, now the time has come to go and cycle. That's where we're adding our discussion now, right?
Yes.
So if you go out, sometimes the first, on the calendar it says new moon, sometimes that day you can see the crescent, sometimes that day you can't see the crescent. Depends on when the moon was born. So sometimes that's a, we hear big bits and pieces. Sometimes you can, sometimes you can't. If you go and look online, the astronomer can tell you if you can or if you can't. If you can for surety, if you can't. There's a little cloudy gray area, you might be able to, you may not be able to. So first, you start out first. I'm talking to a group of people who know how to do this. You start out first going and look when you know you can see it. Don't go and look when you can't see it or you're doubtful you can see it. The first thing to do is go and look when you know you can see it. That's what we did last night. We went out and looked. We didn't go out. We just walked outside our house. Sure, people, they walk outside the house, right? Walk outside the house with their cell phone, look in the sky, and they say, I see it. They didn't see it Friday. I know you can see it. I know everybody in the United States can see it. I know that. So now let me get you to go out and look in the sky. That's it. That's simple. They went, looked in the sky. Yes, the sky was clear. It's not cloudy. They say, I saw it. Some say it's cloudy. It's raining. I don't see it.
That's right.
It's that simple, right? Once you see now all the people that look Friday, or the people said I didn't see it Friday, it wasn't seen Friday, they don't look Saturday. They just say we're going to count 30 days of Shaban. I'm showing you the problem, and I'm showing you how to do it. No one looks Shaban. Like you said, we don't look every month. We don't look but once a year when it comes around. Okay, last year they looked on a day you couldn't see it. And they say we count 30 days, Shaban. It's going to automatically be the next day, right? The year before. So you keep doing this and you end up realizing, well, I've never seen it. Because I keep looking the day, you can't see it, and count an X day of Shaban, and we start automatically. And you don't go look. That's part of the problem, and that's part of the miseducation. Because the people who are saying this, they themselves never looked to say that they saw it. Because they always look when you can't see it. You understand what I'm saying? So step one, go and look. Okay, that's what you do. You look in the sky and look at the left. This is how I would say to someone who doesn't know. Go, don't even worry about the first day, the second day. Go look the third day, like tonight. Even though it was seen
night,
it was seen last night, go after Maghrib tonight. You can go a half hour after Maghrib tonight, look in the sky, and just see the crescent. If it's a clear sky, you'll see it tonight.
Yes, sir.
Then the next month, just look on the calendar. You say, new moon, I'm going to go out a couple of days after the new moon, just look in the sky. And then you look in the sky and you'll see it. Now you got an idea of what direction to look in. You got an idea of what it looks like. Now you want to go and look.
So what you're saying, if I may, so what you're giving us is a homework assignment, which is a good homework assignment.
Yes,
you
if you want
to
know.
To year-round, let us become more conscious of the Hilal, which is the first sighting of the new moon.
Yes.
The crescent moon. I should say crescent. New
yes.
moon is not the crescent moon. We should get into the habit of year round doing this.
Year round. And all you have to do, for those who are interested, most people are not interested. But if you want to be the person who comes and says, it's this or that, then you have to go look. If you're going to be the person that come on and I want to be the authority, you have to go look. If you know who's going to be the one that's going to get into the discussion, you have to go look. Or else don't get into the discussion as if you have looked. That's a problem. We have that freedom. That's the freedom we have in America is I have the freedom to talk. But if you're going to be the one who says, if you know you're in a position of any man, that's your responsibility to do what I'm saying. Because you're the one that's going to tell someone else it's either A or B. At least you'll be the one who, now let me show you how to do it. Let me explain how I would suggest. You don't have to make it a chore.
That's right.
Yes.
I'm going to have to segue here shortly because I got to do part two of the program. And then I'm going to have to segue to my next portion.
Okay.
Are you there?
Yes, we're here.
Yes, sir. Now, I'm saying, go ahead and make your point, but I'm going to have to segue to my next part of the program.
Okay. Okay, so what you will do, all you have to do is when you go outside, look in the sky. Don't make it a chore. When you go outside, look on your calendar. You know you're the imam. You know you're the one who wants to be in the discussion. Look on your calendar. You see new moon. The third day after the new moon, I'm going to walk outside a half hour. 45 minutes, and just look in the sky and see the crescent. It'll be big, nice, big, you'll see it. That's step one. At least you have an idea of what you're looking at.
Yes, sir.
And just have a habit of before you go in the house, pause and look in the sky. And then when you come out of the house, before you get in your car, pause and look in the sky. If you start that, a year round, and you start noticing, be conscious of when the new moon comes every year. I mean, every month. Just have that conscious. Because you're one who's saying, I'm responsible. Someone asked me, I'm the one who's giving out the information. So you should be responsible enough to look in the sky and see, have an idea what you're talking about.
Okay.
That's the first step. Otherwise, we're going to be dealing with superstition and guesswork, and we never went and just looked to see, so we have an idea of what we're saying in the discussion. That's what I would suggest.
Thank you. We really appreciate it. And the information that you provided, and I want to just recap that part, is that when you see on the calendar that is Ramadan, whatever month it may be, but we're talking about Ramadan, it's coming. So you know it's toward the end of the month. The month Shaban is before Ramadan. You say, we're getting toward the end of Shaban. You go right at sunset, and you look to the west where the sun is setting. And then when the sun has set, then you keep looking in that same direction, but a little bit to the left. And then you will see the moon rise and set, but that's going to happen within, 15, 20 minutes after the sunset?
Yes.
Is that correct?
Sometimes it may happen sooner, but yes.
Yeah, okay. So it's you for the first day of the month. In this case, we're talking about the first of Ramadan. If the sun has set 2 or 3 hours, then you're wasting your time. Correct?
If the sun
the rising and setting of the moon on the first day of the month is relatively quick. What, 15, 20 minutes?
Yes, it's setting with the sun.
It's setting with the sun, yes. So about 15 minutes after the sun set, the moon's going to set. So don't be out
there. Yes, about 15 minutes.
Looking for
at sun. Sometimes it's about, it could be about 10 minutes after the sunset, 15 minutes after the sunset, depending on how old it is.
Yes, sir.
So in the beginning, when you are new at it, at the beginning, you want to go out at sunset and just stand there.
Yes, sir.
And you'll be staying there for about 15 minutes.
Thank
you. When you're new.
Thank you. Well, Brother Imam, thank you for this, and thank you for all the contributions you make with Molly, teaching the Arabia. I do at this point ask to segue over to my next portion of my program. So we do thank you. If anybody wants to reach you, how can they reach you? You have a phone number or email?
You can reach me on Facebook. You can reach me. Just type in my name. You can reach me at MuslimAmericanLogic.org. Yes.
Spell your name for us, please.
S-A-L-I-M. M-U-M-I-N.
Yes, sir. And that's on Facebook.
It's on Facebook. You can reach me there and leave a message. That's the easiest way to reach me.
Yes, sir. But again,
you can
thank you.
Me there. You can message me from there.
Yes, sir. Alhamdulillah. Thank you.
Okay.
May Allah bless you.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, sir. We're going to segue to our next portion. That was Imam Salim Wibble from Detroit, Michigan, the founder of Mali, the Muslim. Oh, my goodness, huh? The Muslim Alliance. Brother Imam, if you're still there, can you tell us what the acronym stands for, Mali?
The Muslim American Logic Institute.
You came to it? Yeah, that's it. Muslim American Logic Institute. So go and Google that, Muslim American Logic Institute, and get in contact with our brother Imam Salim Wibble. Thank you, sir. Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you. Wa alaikum assalam.
And Ramadan Mubarak. We go now to
Ramadan Mubarak.
Yes, sir. We go to Imam Nasser Ahmed. She be in commission with my co-host.
You, we are thankful to Allah for this program that you have had now for a while, and your audience was listening.
Yeah.
And the many contributors that have worked with you on the program, I give my thanks and my appreciation to all of you, you know. And
yes,
I say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahda la sharika la wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. I bear witness that there's only one God and that Muhammad is his messenger, our prophet, sent to all of humanity. And I would like to mention to you may have already said this, but I guess it won't hurt to repeat it, that this particular month, it has three sections. And the first section of the month is the mercy of God.
Mm-hmm.
It's 30 days, and the first 10 days is called the mercy of God. And it's like the little child when it's born, it gets his food, it gets, it gets his clothing. That's God's mercy. What did the child do to earn the milk, to earn the clothing? Didn't do anything. So the first 10 days of our fast is the days that we are seeking mercy from God, and he gives it to us to give us our best start in life. For example, the mercy of God is your eyes. The mercy of God is your ears. Any of the limbs, any of the organs, those are the mercies from God to the human being. And I'm giving this to many non-Muslims who are listening on your program so that they can understand how we are using the term. Then in the second 10 days is a period that is called forgiveness. And most people say we seek God to forgive us for the things we've done wrong. That is exactly true. But more importantly, is for the person to forgive themselves first. You know, if I smoke a cigarette I'm destroying my lungs. Don't I need to forgive myself? If I'm drinking alcohol, I'm destroying my liver. I'm going to end up with cirrhosis of the liver. So the number one person that needs forgiveness is me, myself. And after I have sought forgiveness for the disrespect that I've done to myself, then I should go to God and ask God to forgive me for the wrong that I have done to this perfect body that he gave me. And this is important for your listeners. In the Islamic religion, we don't have where the flesh is sinful. In the Islamic religion, we have the flesh is innocent, pure, and excellent. And it is the mind that later gets wrong ideas that burdens the perfect flesh. It's the wrong ideas from the culture, from the society, that will drive the mind to go get a cigarette. But in the beginning, when it's in the womb of his mother, it doesn't smoke cigarette, doesn't want a cigarette. All it wants is fresh air. So when it's, 14, 13, 35 years old, now all of a sudden ideas come in that are contrary to the health of that perfect body. And so people, they misplace where the, they say the sin is in the flesh. No, the sin is not in the flesh. The sin is in the mind from the corrupt culture. Yes. Mm-hmm. And then the last thing is called freedom from hell. And most people think that's the hell that you die and go to under the earth. Well, that's true, too. But the more important hell is the hell that the person brings in their life while they are alive. We put ourselves in hell living while we live by doing things that our conscience tells us not to do. So that's the first hell that the human being experiences. And then after he physically dies, if he hasn't made effort to correct himself and reconcile himself with his Lord, God that he believes in, and the excellence of his life, then he gets the second hell. This hell, he is only temporary. You don't get hell here maybe 6 years or maybe 20 years or maybe 40 years, something like that. But the hell we're talking about is the hell that you have what they call for eternity. And that's a choice that the human being makes on his own. So I am so thankful that you have this call-in program. And let me just say one more thing for your listeners. The fast of the Muslims is called a Ramadan fast, and it came after the Christians. The Christians have their fast, and the Jews have their fast. But what I want to say to you, the Ramadan fast comes on what we call Eid al-Fitr, which means the religion of nature. Whatever the Muslim is doing, you find it in nature. So the fast of the Muslim begins in Ramadan, and Ramadan is the ninth month. And that's the month in which most human beings are born, the ninth month. So the Ramadan fast comes in the ninth month because the perfect body of the human being is born in the ninth month. You understand that? So now we need a perfect body. So this perfect mind has to come from somewhere, and the womb of the perfect mind is the ninth month in which the Muslim is reading the Quran. And so language is the womb of the mind, as the stomach is the womb for the body. I hope I'm making that clear. So just as the body is born in the ninth month, then the Quran was revealed in the ninth month so that the mind could be impregnated with the words of the Quran and the mind be born in the ninth month. Allah Akbar. We thank Allah so very much, brother, for your courageous.
Yeah, let me just follow up. Let me just follow up with that. I make sure that we have conceptual life, which you just said, referring to the ninth month.
Yes,
the physical body, the physical body we have, in most cases, had its development in 9 months. But you say Ramadan in the ninth month is a different type of womb. It's not a womb for the development and birth of the physical body as our physical mother, but it's a womb in the sense for the development of our mind. But that development comes from reading the Quran. during the ninth month.
Yes.
Am I correct?
Yes. Yes. That's correct. That's correct. Because the, as I said, the, body, the mother's womb is, her stomach or her uterus, I'm trying not to be too technical, is the womb for the for all of our physical bodies. That all of us come through the womb or her stomach. But for the, for, that's for the perfect body. The perfect body that God needs.
Mm-hmm.
But for the perfect mind that God wants, for the mind God wants, that mind needs a womb. And the womb for the human mind is language. It's language. So you can study math, and then you have a mathematical womb. You study chemistry, you have a chemical womb. But if you want the perfect human being, you have to have the Quranic womb. And for Christians, to help them understand, you have to have the pure biblical language. You can't have the Bible language that's been changed. You have to have the original teaching of Christianity that's been unchanged. Then you have the pure womb of language to give you the mind that God wants you to have as a Christian. But if you have a Bible that has been changed over and over and over, you do not have the original teachings of Moses. You do not have the original teachings of Christ Jesus. Therefore, the Quran now is the option. Because the Quran cannot be changed by any human being. Cannot do it. The for your listeners. The Quran for your listeners. I know many of your listeners have seen the Quran with pages, and you turn the book, and you see the English on the page, and you see the Arabic on the page. But we're not talking about that. The Quran didn't start with a book on pages. The Quran started with a revelation on the heart of Muhammad the Prophet. And so we now have millions of people who have memorized the Quran by heart. They don't depend on written pages. So that's how I mean it. That's the way that I mean
it. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Very good.
I'm going to say this, Brother Matt. I don't want a Christian to be offended. I don't want a Jew to be offended. Please listen to this explanation from Imam Abidin Muhammad. Imam Muhammad said, scripture that came before the Quran, as long as they were in their original language, they were the word of God at that time.
Mm-hmm.
That's a very powerful statement. That's a beautiful statement for Muslims to give credit to the Bible and the Torah. As long as it was not changed, no verses were lost, no chapters were lost, then those were the words of God. And that's what we Muslims love. We love the original scripture of the Jews and the Christians. We love it because we know it from the same one God that we worship. But we're saying if you don't have that original text, then you should know that the continuation of the scripture is the Quran that came to Muhammad the Prophet. And it is unchanged and it cannot be changed. And thank you for allowing me to say that, because sometimes we say things that will offend non-Muslim.
Praise be to God. We take some questions. We want to get our listeners engaged as well. Not right now, listeners, but just on some of the do's and don'ts, the etiquette of fasting. But before getting to the fast, let's talk about the what we call in the Arabic Hilal, H-I-L-A-L, which is the new moon or the sighting of the new moon. You have any thoughts you'd like to share with us on the new moon? Before you answer, because we know we have an ongoing debate, should it be sighted with the naked eye or can we use the weather's man, the science calculations?
Yeah. Okay. This is excellent. Okay, alhamdulillah. Prophet Muhammad says that it has to be witnessed by at least two believers with the physical eye. But we know Allah has blessed us with science. So we won't disrespect science, but science needs to be supported by the human nature. You see what I mean? Even if you use science, it's depending on the eye and the ear. To translate that science.
Yes, sir.
Alhamdulillah. Get away from it. But you know when you say the Hilal, the Hilal is the moon that means the beginning moon. And to be honest with you, it's the real moon that we have to start the fast with is called a black moon, Hilal. And you can't see that moon. Now, I'm trying to explain this to you why it's so important. The moon is what starts the Muslim fast, and the moon is what ends the Muslim fast 30 days later. Reason why is because the moon is in the same shape of a woman when she's pregnant. If you look at the shape of a woman, she looks like a crescent, like the letter C, right? The letter C. And in science, it says the beginning of the moon is what? The crescent moon, which is also what? The shape of a letter C. So I'm showing that the human being, his religion can be found in nature. All the things that he's asked to do, found in nature. And also, when we fast with the halal that begins in the night, the human being begins his life for 9 months also where? In the night. There's no light in the womb of the mother. So it can, and it's carried out. Now, when we take our fast, we do not eat in the daylight. We eat womb at night. As Allah started us under our mother's womb, we didn't eat in the daylight. We only ate at night. So now, what does this mean? What does this mean? The meaning is, in darkness, the human being is where he begins. It means he begins in nature. Nature's sign is darkness or blackness. If you close your eyes, you close your eyes in blackness. You go to sleep in what? Darkness or blackness. And out of that darkness and blackness of the mother's womb, then you get the light. And the light we mean is knowledge. So likewise it is with the moon. When the moon begins, it's totally black. And then as it progresses on, the moon gets more and more light. You understand what I'm saying? From a crescent moon to a full moon, which means the human mind comes from depending only on nature, eventually becoming a full enlightened mind, depending on scripture and the truth that's in nature. Those are the meanings. So it begins with the hilal, which is the human being beginning in the darkness of his womb, of mother. And just like you can't see that hilal moon, if you have the real moon, you can't see it. It's a call of black moon. And you can't see the human being when he's in the womb. It's all patterned after nature. Alhamdulillah.
Yes. Yeah. So going for the hilal, which is the new moon, which is really a black moon, or at the best, it's a little bitty thin sliver, as you said, in the shape of a sea. But as the month goes on or it progresses, then this moon is symbolic of the intellect, and it grows quarter moon, half moon, full moon, till it has its own light. The moon don't have its own light. It can only reflect the bigger light.
You took my thunder. What I was going to say.
Now we're going to share it.
The moon does not have its own light. It reflects the light of the sun. So the moon is reflective of the individual. The individual does not have his knowledge. He comes here with no knowledge. And he grows into the knowledge of the light in the world, of the knowledge of God placed inside of the world that man has to discover and bring out of the world. So every human being, he's symbolic of the moon. When he's first born from the mother's body, there's no knowledge. And as long as he becomes like the moon, he becomes fuller and fuller and fuller of knowledge.
Yes, sir.
But it's not
Okay.
The knowledge that's being reflected to him. That's what anybody who is listening needs to understand. Whatever knowledge you have, it is not yours. That's a gift that has been given to you. Everything
I want to do. Very well
said. But I'm a surgeon because I got borrowed knowledge. I borrowed it from medical school.
That's right.
Yes.
Alhamdulillah. What is the proper way to begin a day of fasting? know, we get up a certain time, and all that. And also, the proper way to begin the fasting, and what does that mean?
Okay.
And also,
now you
I'm sorry, then how do we end the day, and what does that mean?
Okay. Now, for Muslims, the day doesn't begin when the sun rises. The day begins when the night. So, like, today, I'm doing this for your movement. We say the day started because after 12 o'clock we see light. We say, no. In the Islamic religion, the day begins with the night. When the night comes, that's the day. So the fast begins for Muslims in the night. It begins in the night.
Mm-hmm.
So we begin the fast, and around this time, what is maybe, depends on where you are in the country, it could be 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock. It's called dawn, the dawning, Fajr time, dawning. Some say about 30 minutes before the Fajr time, you rise up, you wash yourself, you eat a breakfast called suhoor. We call it suhoor. You take your food, and then most people, they will read the Quran, maybe. But they first, after they eat this little food, they will make the prayer. They're what we call units of prayers that we make. And they're four units that we make. We call them rak'ah, Fajr prayer. And this is a prayer that we make when the sun has not risen. When the sun has not come up, that's when we make our prayer. The first prayer we make to Almighty God. And the Muslims, we pray five times a day. And we pray five times a day because we want the prayer to fire senses. And this is what most people, they don't understand. The human being is a creature who's influenced through his five senses, hearing, seeing, taste, smell, touch. And some things can come through the mind subconsciously. And so, more importantly, if it comes through subconsciously, that's the purpose of prayer, to wipe away the subconscious negative influence that we weren't aware of. That's one of the many reasons for making prayer. So the first prayer is Fajr prayer. That said at dawn, when the sun has not risen, meaning that we are looking for God to help us before we have any knowledge of math, chemistry, or business, or whatever. The first one you seek is not man's knowledge, but God. So then you make your prayer. Then after you make prayer, most people, if they have the time, they'll read 1/30th of the Quran. The Quran is 114 chapters, and it is divided into 1/30th per day. So to have to read 1/30th of the Quran, after 30 days, you would have completed the entire reading of the Quran. So that's the purpose for it. Then throughout the day, there's no eating of food. There's no sexual relationship with your husband or your wife. There's no water to be taken, as long as you're healthy. If you're sick and you're under a doctor's care, then you have exemption. But those of us that are healthy, these are the rules for us. If you're not insane, if you're not under puberty, you don't fast. If you're insane, naturally you don't fast. So at any rate, do this for 30 days. Now, when the sun sets, then we break our fast. That means now we are allowed to eat food. And we do it in the tradition of Muhammad the Prophet, wherein the first thing we take is water, and then we take dates. And this has great meaning again. The first thing we take is water, because the first thing that breaks when we're born into the world is the water bag of the mother. Right?
That's
the first thing.
That's right.
First thing we take is water. And then we eat dates. And dates has been discovered by science now, because Prophet Muhammad established it, is the most complete one food that you can eat. Dates. You know, if you only ate dates, you could survive.
No?
Yeah. Yeah. So now, then after that, you can eat, you know, what is organically natural. Like a banana, like an apple. When you break your fast, you can't break it with a Hostess Twinkie. You know? You can't break it with chocolate cake and ice. And the reason for that it is saying that we should not feed our mind like we feed our body. If I feed my body something artificial, like cake and ice cream, then most likely I'm going to feed my mind with something artificial, like Easter and Santa Claus. No disrespect. You understand? Because
mm-hmm.
I'm in the habit of taking in something for my body, I'm going to turn around and do the same thing for my mind. So the principle of breaking the fast this way, try to instill in all human beings, not just Muslims, that you make sure that what you're taking in your mind is natural from nature that God gave you, and don't take anything from your mind that's artificial that man gave you. You see?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes,
real,
sir.
Real deep.
Yeah.
That's how all of the
yes,
prophets,
sir.
You know, Jesus, Moses, all of them had this great insight that I'm sharing right now. But it was Imam W.D.
Yes,
Muhammad
sir.
That made it so clear so that we could see the other prophets, you know. And they had the same
mm-hmm.
contribution, same innocence of nature. But it's enshrouded in too much mysticism. That's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir. I want to ask you a question and
yes,
for the listening audience who may not know. Sometimes you hear us say Imam Nasser Ahmed, and sometimes we say Dr. Nasser Ahmed. And the reason
yes.
being because he's a dentist and he's a surgeon in the line of dentistry. So the next question I'm going to ask you, you are qualified in both respects, because some people say the Muslims should not brush their teeth during the daytime. What are your comments on that?
Oh, I love you.
I mean, you know.
Let me say this to you. You could put water in your mouth, toothpaste. You could put a loaf of bread in there as long as you don't swallow it. If you swallow it, then you have violated. So you can gargle,
okay.
You can brush your teeth. And see, the answer is Islam is so common sense, you know what I mean? Yeah. And
that's
look,
true.
For your listeners,
that's true.
There was a man in the lifetime of Prophet Muhammad. I forget his name. But Uthman. Anyway, one of his close companions, he took in some food, and he forgot that he was fasting, and he vomited
mm-hmm.
the food out. And he told Prophet Muhammad about the story that he forgot that he was fasting, and he regurgitated the food back. So Prophet Muhammad
wait a minute,
told him.
Wait, ask you, now, did he self-induce the vomit?
Yeah.
He forced it. Okay.
So,
oh, yeah.
So what happened was, he was so conscientious of obeying the rules of the fast, which is a good thing for, you know, believers trying to obey, till he forced
mm-hmm.
himself to regurgitate when he stuck his finger in his throat. You know what I mean? So he took the
mm-hmm.
story to Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Prophet Muhammad told him, you should have kept it because that was a gift from God. That was a mercy from God. Meaning that some,
mm-hmm.
listen, some of us, we don't know our state of health on a given day. So God knows your health better than you do. So God will cause you to forget because on that day you need some water and some food. But you don't know it, you know. And I have friends that work in construction. And they tell me when they're on the roof, one day that one man was walking off the roof and other men had to grab him. Now, he was a Muslim. And I told him, when you're in a condition like that, you break your fast. You don't put your life at risk. So for those persons who are sick and who have trouble with their health, they are exempt from fasting. But they just have to make it up
yes,
at a later
sir.
Day and time. Mm-hmm. When they're in a more safe
yes,
environment.
Yes, that's the reason that we had shared from the Quran before you came. And I was sharing with the listeners my own experience. Then about 4 years ago, I had my appendix removed during Ramadan. But I'm so anxious to get back into the fast. You know, I'm going to try to be a super Muslim. I'm going to be a micro Muslim. I'm going to fast anyway while I'm healthy. But it didn't take long for me to realize that I'm really disobeying Allah by doing that.
Absolutely.
Because my body reminded me that I wasn't ready, you know, so.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Now, we want to go back to this, following the dictates. Each day, the believer has to try and struggle to read 1/30th of the Quran, at least 1/30th.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason being that the human development is subject to the environment. You know what I mean?
Okay.
The environmental influences have a way of altering the natural functional life of the inner person. The culture does this. And thus mm-hmm. it changes the normal movement of thought and the normal spirit in the individual. The culture does this. You know, and most people tell me that what I'm saying is not true. So I ask them, why do advertisers on television with great football games pay $1 million per advertisement if you're not going to influence the person? So they withdraw the question after I pose that situation.
Mm-hmm.
The human
That's
being,
right.
when we say he's spiritual, you know what it simply means? That he's a creature that can be influenced. Spiritual means influence. So we're all spiritual, or we all can be influenced. You see?
Mm-hmm.
And so people
mm-hmm.
get the term spiritual mixed up with some sanctimonious holy roller, you know, walking in a style of rosaries on his hand. You know, they think that's spiritual. That's not spiritual. Hell, an atheist is spiritual. That means he was influenced to be an atheist.
That's why they influence, yes, sir.
A horse is spiritual. They say that horse has great spirit. So it means that God
mm-hmm.
has created everything with the nature to be influenced. Every animal, every plant, every man is spiritual. But
yes,
we the church conflict and lose the deeper meaning and lose the great benefit.
Yes, sir.
So anyway,
let me say this.
I got to say this from my mind. Allah has
mm-hmm.
to come into our environment with his own word. Just like, you know, you walk into the environment of your home, you walk into the environment of masjid. The environment for the person is his mind. So Allah has to come into that environment with his word, with something
mm-hmm.
here for us to feed on. Our soul, or the inner being, is awakened and then freed from the gravity of improper attachment. That's the problem. You know? It's
mm-hmm.
not the body. It's the mind that's improperly attached to a car, to a house, or another person. So it needs help to break the gravity. And what breaks that gravity is knowledge. So the real person is the knowledge that supervises his own mind. That is the person. So we live by the knowledge that supervises us or our thoughts, and that's why we read the Quran daily. I'm making this plain for Muslims. And Christians, you can do this with your Bible. The concept is the same. So we want to take on a new natural mind, which is our original mind. And scripture is to help you get that original mind back. Any scripture, that's its purpose. So I'm going to let y'all talk. You know what I mean? Because I'm feeling guilty now. I'm dominating the conversation. But trust
no,
me,
no,
I got
no,
a whole
you
life.
Are a guest. No, you are a guest, and I'm sure that the listeners are really appreciating what you're saying. I know that I am. So alhamdulillah. Now, I know some Muslims who are on medication. I spoke to two of them locally, and they said, well, they're just going to shift and take their medicine at nighttime, so they can continue fasting. What are your comments on people who have to take certain medicines?
You have to come with the doctor. Because sometimes medication, they have to talk with their physician. Because sometimes we give our medication, and the medication is in the blood for a certain period of time. It's called plasma level. And the average medication
mm-hmm.
has its efficacy or its medical effectiveness, say, for like 6 hours. Then after that, it starts to wane, starts to decrease. And that makes the patient susceptible to any germs or whatever that may be in the environment that relates to their condition. So they have to talk
mm-hmm.
to the physician to see if he recommends them scientifically, because science is also truth. Medicine is also truth. Like you read the Quran, is truth. 2 by 2, 2 plus 2 is 4 is truth. And medicine, I'm talking about natural medicine. I'm not talking about the garbage that you're giving us from pharmaceutical companies. Most of that is not medicine, it's fillers. But the real physicians I'm talking about, they know that certain of us need certain medications at certain levels, certain blood plasma levels, at certain given amount of time. For example, I'll give you an example of what I'm talking about. If you eat meat, you know, you digest meat, it takes 8 hours. I'm giving them an example, okay? Just meat, so you can understand what I'm saying. Some people, they'll eat meat in breakfast, then they turn around and eat meat at lunch, then they turn around and eat meat in the afternoon, and turn around and eat meat at dinner. They haven't given the first dose of meat a chance to be digested. You understand what I'm saying? And then that makes the person... So the fast of Ramadan is to try to get the person to discipline themselves so that they're not harming themselves with the thing that is legal for them. The very legal thing can kill you when eating it or taking it in too often. Water can kill you. If you can drink too much water, you drown in your lungs. This is a fact. You eat too much food, you bust your gut. This is true.
Yes, sir. Okay. Yeah, so now, just for my own clarity, maybe for others too, you say the real doctor or the natural doctor. How can one tell which doctor is the best?
Yeah. Yeah. You'll know this doctor because he respects the rule of nature. Nowadays, you're having many of the physicians and dentists that are being trained in medical school. They're also learning medicine. Not that they do it for 4 years. We might get maybe 6 months of it now, which is more than what I got when I was in medical school. And these will say, here is the pharmaceutical medication, and they will also say, here's the naturopathic medication. And they will use the key to suggest to have. Now, that's the best doctor. When he respects the naturopathic, he is in power. And that's the one you say. He has no respect for you. Say that he ain't no truth, that you hit, you walk out his door. But he's not the best to help you. I'm telling you. He's not the best to help you. Sometimes I have cancer. I've taken the cancer patient, done all this cancer surgery, thousands of dollars of cancer surgery, and there's no result. You know what most doctors in my at that point will tell that patient? Go to hospice. I don't tell them that. I tell them go to the naturopathic doctor, go to California, go to Mexico, go to England if you have to, and get the alternative medication approach because it does work. This kind of culture is all about the dollar, and they know that those things work. So listen here. They'll put you on medication, and the medicine will not kill you, but it'll string you out. So normally you should have been healed in a year or 3 years at the max. You taking this same medication for 30, 40 years. That's not right. The only time you need that medication is when you have lost the organ. You understand what I'm saying? Say like the kidney is dead or it's been diseased. Or the spleen is removed. Okay, when some tissue has been destroyed, then you need something continuously as a supplement. But the majority of Americans, they don't need that. They need medication, as I'm saying, the most for 3 years, and then bring them on supplements. And the supplements, the natural supplements, the healing.
Yes, sir. I have a question here that was brought to my attention. Should women who are pregnant, should they fast? Or is there a certain trimester or when they should not fast?
Yeah. The most dangerous part for a woman in pregnancy is the first trimester, the first 3 months. That's what we call organogenesis, meaning that's when the special organs are forming, the brain, the heart, the kidneys, the lungs, that kind of thing. That period is very So she, again, has to take the consultation with her physician. Most women it's not a problem with, but there are some women that have special conditions, you know, and so they need to consult a physician. Yeah, I will give a blanket statement. The majority of women, my wife fasted every Ramadan. She sure did. Most of the sisters in the masjid here. Unless they had, you know, special conditions. And the physician told them not to do it. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Thank you. The question came to me was, when and why did fasting begin in the month of Ramadan? What in the history of the Prophet or within Islam says, why was Ramadan chosen?
Oh, my goodness. That's a beautiful question. You know, I thought, and most Muslims thought, that the fast in Islam and prayer began right there in the mission of Prophet Muhammad. It did not. The prayer came in later in his mission, and the fasting came in, I think, in the 15th year, the 12th or the 15th year. I have to to check up.
Mm-hmm.
The scholars know. You know, I'm certain I'm right. But what I'm trying to say is that, you know, the first 10 days I told you about was the mercy of God. I forgot to tell you that. The first 10 days, it didn't matter. The second 10 days is the forgiveness. Well, you don't really.
Yeah, you mentioned that. You mentioned
hell, okay? Yeah. So now, what is with the fast and the prayer beginning 10 and 15 years later, after he started his mission, is a proof of mercy. That's the mercy. That, can you imagine somebody in the very first year of Prophet Muhammad trying to fast? They have no idea what they're fasting for. Trying to make prayer, they don't know who they're praying to. So the prophet had to make clear who Allah was. He wasn't an idol. Allah wasn't a female. It took 15 years to get people to understand that. Look, they used to be standing in the front line, and they would be drunk. And they would bend down in ruku and keep rolling. You know, or they'd come back. Then the revelation came. Allah said, well, Ya Rasulullah, can you do something about this alcohol? And the revelation came. So I'm showing you the mercy in this religion. Because none of us don't let a truck man in the prayer line today and start wobbling. We're going to have some words.
Yes, sir.
But even religion, we still give them. You know, I, myself, my administration, I don't put the laws on them like I put somebody been around here 15, 20 years. I practice like the prophet is. I give them time to grow in the religion, you know. I tell them this is what but I don't pressure them like I pressure one of us. Because I take
that
as a hint. But sometimes we'll run
them
to be critical, and they're still doing these things. They haven't grown, you know.
This is good. You know, we're into our second hour. Go ahead.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying. I'm gonna move to another room because this is the Shura meeting, and I'm in the meeting with the Shura, and I'm 5 minutes late. So let me let them go ahead and conduct the Shura meeting, and I'll just go to another room, and I don't have to interfere with it. Okay.
Yes,
so,
sir.
So get, you don't talk, you know, I'll talk too once I get in another room.
Yes, sir. Yeah, good. Yeah, when you change your room, I just wanted to have a comment that not only are you a medical dentist, doctor, and imam, you're also a very good comedian, you know, and I like that. because there are a lot of times in the delivery and how it's delivered is really powerful. Alhamdulillah. Also, we're into our second hour. And so at this time, for our listeners, if you have a question or a comment, but the comment has to be brief, please be brief, so we can get in as many callers as possible. But you can press one on your phone, and we will work you into our conversation. You're listening to Words Make People. I'm your host, Michael Sahir, with my co-host, Brother Mustafa. Brother Mustafa, do you have anything you want to ask Imam Nasser at this time? Okay, he may be here. Be right back. Brother Imam, are you ready now?
No, I'm still moving. I'm gonna move. I'm still in the conference room.
Okay. Okay. Yes. So this is coming up to. Okay. He's gonna have to call back. He just dropped his call. Even I'm sure he can call right back. But at this time for our listeners, if you have a question you want to ask Imam Nasa, you can press 1 on your phone, and we will work your question and brief comment into the conversation. He's a man with a lot of knowledge and wisdom. This would be a good time to ask those questions that you may have. So as soon as he called back in, I see where his call dropped. I'm sure he'll be calling Mike back very shortly. And when he do, we'll bring him into the conversation. So we're looking forward to the beginning of Ramadan. We think it's the first day most likely, the way it's looking for North America's fighting, most likely it's going to be on, the moon will be sighted on Friday night. That's yet to be confirmed. The most likely will be sighted Friday night. The new moon, as he mentioned, the black moon is going to be born on the 25th, and we can't see it. The next night, the 26th, it should be visible, but most likely we're going to begin fasting on, not eating on the morning of Saturday, or next Saturday, inshallah. Now we have Imam Nasser back with us.
Yes, back on the phone. Uh-huh.
Yes, sir. Yeah, no problem. And now here's a question we get very often that I'm sure you can be given some help with. What is the meaning of Shaitan is locked up during Ramadan? And is that based in the Quran or Hadith? Because that will come up all the time.
You're giving some wonderful questions. Man, oh, man, oh, man. Thank Allah, Muhammad the Prophet. That is the Hadith of Prophet Muhammad. It's legit. And let me just plug a little something in here to give me a little time. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. The condition of Ramadan, again, is a womb. It's a period of a womb and not the physical state of the womb, okay? And you know in the womb, the baby cannot be influenced to do anything wrong. You can't influence a child. As long as that baby's in the mother's body, you cannot influence it to do the lie. So Ramadan is a mental womb for the human being.
Mm.
And the human being who takes the fast of Ramadan, he has protecting angels on his ears, protecting angels on his eyes, on his taste buds, all of the five senses of which information comes through to the human being have protecting angels because there's a special person in that body. And if you fast during the month of Ramadan, Satan cannot influence you. This is a fact. This is indeed, you know, your moral sensitivity is heightened, you know. Your purity is heightened. Innocence is heightened. Anybody who's ever taken the fast, they will tell you they have experienced this sensitivity, you know, that is really protecting them. Now, here's the point. If a person fasts during the month of Ramadan, and if they die during the month of Ramadan, anybody who's fasting, they go straight to paradise.
Right.
And that's because they're back under the condition of the purity of the womb. But not the womb of their mother, but the womb of their mind. And what is coming in? And influencing them is only the truth.
Yes, sir.
And
yeah.
And their intention is only to accept. Yeah, go ahead.
Now, because I know a lot of Muslims say, you know, they say, you know, Satan's locked up. and you go watch the evening news, you say, well, they got the same amount of shootings and murders and craziness going on during Ramadan as not during Ramadan. So what does it mean by the Satan is locked up? It just didn't make sense on the surface.
I got your question. The Satan, the first place that you find Satan is where? In the individual. Right? Not a society outside, but each individual person. So if we have 10 people fasting, Satan is locked up in 10 people. Now, if you've got 10,000 people outside and they are not fasting, Satan is free among them. And this is for your listeners. I'm saying this for your listeners. We have to understand when we're talking as adults and when we're talking as children. If you understand Satan to be some invisible gas-like entity, then you're never going to understand what we're talking about. Satan is a thinking. Satan is a mind. And in order for that mind to express itself, it needs physical bodies to express itself. So I'm saying to your listeners, an invisible thing is never going to steal your car. It takes Satan inside of a human body that will steal that car. I hope I made point clear. I hope I made that clear. There's nothing invisible going to come and break in your house and steal your furniture. It's going to be a thinking, a mind that's full of lies and deceit in a human body, and that human body then is using the Satan thinking to rob your house. So when it says Satan is locked up, it's talking about it's locked up in the body of the individuals that are practicing the fast. So those who are not practicing the fast, Satan is free to do anything he want to do through their body. And I know this is a tough concept for many of your listeners because they never heard Satan described like that. Satan, in order for him to do something wrong, he must have a physical body to do it. Satan cannot do anything wrong without a human body. Am I still online or did I get dropped offline? Oh, boy.
No, sir.
You're still here.
You're loud and clear. Yes, sir. So when people want to blame things on Satan, they have to be very careful about blaming it on something invisible or something that they can't see. That's something they think is floating in the air that's invisible. We have to look at it that it manifests in the thinking, the wrong thinking of people. That's where you're going to find the shaitan.
I want to share something that Imam Muhammad has given us, the Prophet gave us, better understand. You know, when you fast during the month of Ramadan, I'm saying this for your listeners mainly, that means that you're not eating food and you're not drinking water, you know, that kind of thing. Now, what that does, it awakens you to realize that you are not the physical body. See, most people, they are confused. They think that the physical body is them. You are not the physical body. The physical body is like the car you drive. The car you drive, it takes you to the store, it takes you to college, it takes you home, but you get out of that car. You are not the car, you're the driver of the car. So the same thing with Ramadan is trying to help the person understand you're not the physical body. You are the thinking. You are the mind. So what happens is that the nature of the body form or the flesh form is to make you do what it wants you to do, to aggravate you. You get hungry, you go get some food. You get sleepy, you go lay down. You see what I mean? That's the nature of the flesh body to make those things happen to you. There's nothing wrong with it, you know. And it does those things for the sake of you having physical life. So then, in that situation, we then accept to be driven by the world without. We're driven by a loaf of bread. We're driven by a steak sandwich. You see what I mean? The flesh form or this physical body without a disciplined mind is a selfish kingdom that you are living in. You see?
Yeah.
And that physical body pulls against, it pulls against the nasty motion that is supposed to be going toward God or Allah, and it ends up reaching for vain things to satisfy itself. So the fast, because you're not eating food, you're not drinking water, it starts to make you realize that I'm more than this physical body. And the fast, it makes your, it makes your mind, the inner being, to awaken. And it makes your mind to stand up independent of the outer body. And although your body is crying for food, you, the mind, can no longer hear. You have evolved beyond the flesh. And the mind has now separated from the outer body, and the mind is living in a world of its higher form. Because there's a force inside every human being that God puts inside every human being that wants something at the expense of every other force in your body. And that is to obey the will of God.
Yeah, let me
finish for your
listeners. Okay, and we have a call I want to get to. But go ahead, please.
Go ahead.
Okay, we have a caller here. If you can give us your city and your name. They call from the 616 area code. You have a question or comment for our guest?
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum
as-salam. Yeah, this is just a comment. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Brother Norman, I was enjoying. Brother Norman, Muhammad. I'm really enjoying our scholar, Brother Nas Ahmed. This is one of the brothers, you know, wherever he at, if I'm close, I'm going to come and listen. It's just a blessing to sit and listen at. And one of our brothers that give this great insight from beloved Imam W.D. Muhammad. And, you know, I just wanted to call and give him the greetings, you the greetings. And I'm going to get back now and listen some more. And thank you. May Allah bless you. Assalamu alaikum and Ramadan Mubarak to both of you. Peace.
Allah me.
Thank you. He's a wonderful man. He's a great prophet. Great prophet.
Yes, he is.
You know that baby, when it's born, if you ever notice young children, 2, 3, 4 years old, you put a certain amount of food on their plate, and they'll automatically stop eating. Young children, you know, that we haven't given a lot of these artificial foods to. Now, what we do, that normal nature to be full with one-third of food, one-third of water, one-third of air. That's the way the Prophet Muhammad told us, you know. What happens is that we take normal desire for just a small, less amount of food, and we got a mountain plate of food, you know. So what we end up doing is we make the flesh become a torment, a burden for us. We lead our flesh in this culture, unknowingly, most of us are innocent. We lead our flesh to become an enemy to us. And with the fast, it is now trying to bring the flesh back into its natural life. And the way to do this is by restraining the appetites of the flesh that we took out of control. You see? So we have been blessed with this particular understanding that there is a need of the Ramadan fast that is saying that you need to break out of a self-imposed prison of ignorance. You see what I mean? That has been influenced officially from thinking and ideas that we acquired from the world. And the Ramadan has given us the opportunity to return back to the original soul's mind.
So that's the reason for fasting?
Yeah, that's the purpose of fasting. To bring my mind back to its original state. The state for me to desire a cigarette, that's not original. The state for me to desire cocaine, that's not original. We didn't come in the world wanting those things. That comes from the artificial influences of our culture. And then those things impose and imprison us in ignorance.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I have a question I'd like to ask you. A lot of times, even with my good friends, you know, they're not Muslim, and they tell them Ramadan's coming, and they're like, oh, they kind of feel sorry for us. And really, in return, I'd be feeling sorry for them, but they're not fasting. But what should we say to our non-Muslim friends who ask us, why are you fasting?
Right. Okay. It is because the human being in his flesh form is a delicate and fragile entity. And the more delicate any message is to be transmitted, the more delicate the instrument that is going to carry that message has to be. You know, and it's just like, you know, how you have a radio, and you can change the stations on the radio, right? Because the radio has different dials, or it means the radio has different sensitivities. So you can turn a radio to classical music. You can turn a radio to garbage music. You see, you have a choice.
Mm-hmm.
So the human being, most of we humans, we don't know how delicate and how refined we are. So you need the fast. You need something to give you this identity of yourself that no one has told you about. You know? And look, as another analogy, when all of us were born, we had to be told that we were a boy, or we had to be told that we were a girl. We had to be told that we were Johnson, or we had to be told that we were Rahman. So we had to be told these things. So the same thing it is for our speciality, for our nobility that God has created us in. We need something that will bring us into that understanding, something that will introduce that to us. Just like I had to be introduced to my neighbor, just like I had to be introduced to my classmates, I had also had to be introduced to my mother. When I was born, I didn't know my mother. She was a stranger. When my father, he was a stranger. So the same thing with ourselves. With the excellence that we are on the inside, most of us as a conscious person have to be introduced to this delicate faces. And that's the purpose of Ramadan. Yeah. You tell anybody, let me tell you real quick. If you eat four plates of food, big plates of food, what's the first thing you're going to do? You're going to start getting sleepy. The more food, the more likelihood you're going to get sleepy. The less food you eat and the more organic food you eat, you don't get tired. So Ramadan is trying to stop the person from eating food so that his stomach will no longer digest, but that his mind will now start to digest. Because the most important document, not in the stomach, is in the mind. And this is what we're trying to do. Most people can tell you, Imam Sahir, they can tell you their birthday. I was born October 30th, January 15th, August the 3rd. They can give you the birthday, but they're giving you the birthday of the body. The fast of Ramadan, in the process of trying to get you to understand your most important birthday is the day you started thinking. And no human being can give you that day. Only God can tell you when you first started thinking.
Yes, sir. Thank you. I want to encourage our listeners to press 1 on their phone. They have a question or comment to ask. Email Dr. Nasser Ahmed. I'm not sure if my co-host has a question. I know he does. He's always full of questions. And so I'm sure he has one. Yes, sir. Go ahead, Brother Mustafa. You have a question you want to ask?
Yes, sir, Brother Imam. As-salamu alaykum, Brother Nasser.
Wa alaykum as-salam.
Yes, sir. It was a pleasure listening to you and talking to you. But, Doctor, my question is, I started my first class in 1999.
Yes, sir.
So during that time, fasting started, St. Ramadan started in December sometime.
So
I'm looking to complete that whole cycle of a whole year, you know, how the month changed, and we in May now. So before we come back to this Selma, is that a complete 30 years or 29 years?
That's right. Cycle? It takes about 30 years for a cycle. That's right. So approximately 30 years.
Mm-hmm. Mm. 32, I believe. Right. Yeah.
32?
Wow. Yeah, we could, you know, we got a lot of our scientists. They can tell you the exact number. Yeah. But it's around the 30s.
Yeah, it's in that range. It's in that range. Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir. Yes, and I really appreciate what you've been sharing about this month of Ramadan. It's really inspiring me to look forward to it. You know, like you stated earlier, some people say they feel sorry for us during these days, but we really feel sorry for them.
For
you know,
them,
they don't have the understanding.
We appreciate them. We appreciate them. Yeah, we appreciate their sensitivity.
Yes,
we thank God for them being sensitive to it, you know.
Yes, sir.
But you know,
what
we're trying to get your listeners to understand, that this act of fasting really is helping the inner person to grow, you know, to help them to overcome the natural gravity that acts to keep the person from growing. You know, like the natural gravity that pulled on us when we used to crawl as a child. That's natural gravity. It pulls against your human growth, you know. And the material needs or the desires, those pull against the human growth or the mental growth. So the solid and scientific position in the Islamic religion is that the human mind cannot attain rational fulfillment without the aid of divine revelation. You can get all the PhD degrees you want, all the medical degrees you want, but you are not going to come to the fulfillment of the human mind without the aid of scripture. The rational development comes before the prophet's development, it is the prophet's vision that ultimately is the mind's doorway to total fulfillment. And
yes,
this is what most people don't understand. They think, I don't need religion. I don't need scripture. All I need is rational scientists, or scientists, the empirical scientists. Look at the state of our world if you think that's the truth. You know,
yes,
we got all the empirical sciences you want. And what do we have? The greatest moral degradation in the history of humanity. So the scientific academic is not enough. The PhD is not enough.
Not enough.
Yes,
not enough.
And like you said earlier, Brother Imam, you answered one of my questions when I run into people, come in contact with people, where they say they're trying to find themselves. Then if you want to find yourself, fast for Allah, and you'll find yourself quickly.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. That's a cop out. That's a cop out in modern culture. It's a cop out. How you gonna find yourself when you was born and everybody found you? And you found your mom and your daddy. Mm-hmm. It's a cop out. I don't want to accept responsibility.
That's what it is.
I guarantee you. Hey, look here. When he's hungry and he's at the dinner table, I bet you ain't no problem finding himself. He can find that fork and that spoon. You understand what I'm saying? So it's a cop out.
Yes, sir. Alhamdulillah. Let me get my callers in. I want to thank my callers for all the words, my people. Our first caller here, caller from 909, caller, give us your first name and your city, please.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Brother Ayman Abdul Majid calling in from Los Angeles, California.
Yes, everybody now.
I just want to say everybody, assalamu alaikum.
Wow,
excellent program. Just for the sake of clarity, though, I just wanted to know, now, when does the faster stop, you know, start his fast in the morning? How long before the sun? I mean, I heard something about 30 minutes or something before sunrise.
You know,
I just want to get that straight.
Yeah, the clarity is in the Quran.
Yeah.
When you see the black and the white thread. You see what I mean?
Right.
So
right.
When you see that, I mean, that's the Quran. That's it. None of us can argue with that.
Right.
Then there will come the schools of thought. One will say 30.
Right.
One will say 30.
Right.
One will say
right.
How. I tell the individual, you call it your conscience.
Right.
Read what the scholars have to say. Read what they say, how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did it. And know that the different scholars are going to differ. Just be aware of it. And
that's
then follow your rule that Allah inspires you to follow.
Yeah.
But the words is in the Quran. It's strictly there. you know.
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because
yeah.
sometimes
and
we
I
have
just
a,
encourage
him.
Yeah, I encourage him to read the different sorrows.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and that's exactly what it is. It's misunderstanding, and I encourage people who listen to it, please do not argue over this. It's not worth it.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Here's one guy, he's going to say 30 minutes. And another guy going to say an hour. And one is bitter to the other. This is not our community. We who follow Prophet Muhammad and under the Imam W. Muhammad's direction, we don't do that.
Right.
We say, let that man be judged by his intention with Allah, and the other man be judged by his intention with Allah. I'm not the judge.
Yeah.
I don't have the
history. I like that.
If I may push this a little further, I heard you, Imam Muhammad, give a comment on that, the white thread and the black thread.
Yes,
and the
sir.
Black being our nature, and the black thread being our nature being distinguished from the light. Can you touch on that a little bit?
Yeah, and that's wonderful. You know, the Kaaba, when you see the Kaaba, it has the blackness in the lower part of the drape, and it has that little white band going around, right? If you can imagine the Kaaba, it's a dress, you know. And the Kaaba is symbolic of the human being. And it means that the human being, the darkness in the Quran, the blackness, the black thread, means that's nature. And nature has a logic. Nature has a truth. Nature will never deceive you. Nature never tells a lie. Nature. So that is the black line. And then we see the white line that's running parallel to nature. You see this in the morning. Every morning you can see it. So that means that the empirical, so-called rational sciences that we get out of nature should not contradict nature. That's what it means. So all of our sciences should complement your parallel nature. In other words, I'm going to give it very specific, so there's no question in anybody's mind. In my field in medicine, we are now getting certain doctors to justify that homosexuality is acceptable. Now, that's empirical, so-called rational knowledge, if you understand what I'm trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
That knowledge is in complete opposite of nature. Nature doesn't tell you.
Right.
Nature tell you you're a boy or a girl in the story. So that is the knowledge or the light that's not running parallel.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have other people that I'm ashamed to say this. I won't even say the person's name. We were in a conference. And this individual, he got up and he said that there is such a thing as an alcoholic gene. You know the genes and chromosomes? He said there's such a thing as an alcoholic gene. And he's saying that this is now being proven in science. Okay? That's pseudoscience. That's not science. It's false science. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Look at Quran there, Benny Adam. And we made all of the children of Adam under nobility. So I asked this particular person, I said, would you tell that to Prophet Muhammad to his face? He got totally silent. I said, would you tell that to Christ Jesus to his face? Quiet. Would you tell it to Moses in his face? Got quiet. You know? So we know how to reach these people. They'll make these statements because they're the only man in the room. So the only man in the room is the wisest man. But when 2 or 3 and 15 and 20 other people start coming in that room, they start to back
right,
up and realize.
I got Asian.
Now, when it says that we can eat and drink, we can eat and drink until we can distinguish the black, and until we can see them parallel. So that is that saying? I'm going off my own thinking now for an answer. Is that saying that we can't consume from the world until we come to a point to where we can see that parallel?
Yeah,
not just the 24-hour day of fasting, just life,
yeah.
The whole, you know, that we allow to eat and drink the halal foods, of course, and the halal drinks.
Right.
Until our mind develops to where we can distinguish
there you go.
Science and
you
nature. But we've seen the parallel.
Alhamdulillah. See, most people, they're on a first level reading. You know, the first level reading is word for word. But now the second level reading is what you're doing right now. See, remember what all of us have to remember. We have the great scholars and all that, which we are to respect those scholars. Allah has sent them to help us. But we also have to remember we got the help in the Quran and in the Hadith as well, where Muhammad the Prophet said, every verse in the Quran is zahir wa batin. That's Arabic. Zahir means it's apparently what you're seeing word for word, and batin means it has hidden meaning. Just like batin means the baby is hidden in the womb. Don't mean the baby is not there.
Mm-hmm.
Means you can't see the baby.
Very good.
So you are exactly right. We are not to get stuck on these rituals as simply word for word. They're much deeper and much richer meanings and insights.
Yes, sir.
Exactly.
Yes, sir.
But you talk to people on the level that they're on, and they're comfortable on that level, then you speak to them on that level. You have to respect them. You know how they say when you have a small child, that milk is for is for the baby, and meat is for the wise men. That's scripture, right? Because
yes,
it's what it's saying that is great wisdom in. When you have a baby, their teeth haven't developed. So if you give them meat, they don't have the teeth to cut the meat up, so you can kill that baby.
Mm-hmm.
It's called digestive problem. So likewise it is with knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
If the person is on the baby level and they haven't gotten into the teeth, and teeth in religion means the ability to break up a paragraph down to its words and down to its ideas and down to its concepts.
That's right.
They're not at that level.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. So we have to respect where they are.
That's what we call this show, and this is what we call this show from the words of Imam Muhammad, words made people.
Right. That's right.
Going to our next caller here. Yes, and thank you for listening for calling in to our show, Worth My People. This caller here is from the 973 area code. Can you give us your first name and city, please?
Yes. My name is Neophia, and right now I am in New Jersey.
Neophia?
Yes.
Okay.
We are taught that we learn through our five senses, right?
Mm-hmm.
I want to know if there is an answer to this question. What is it when we learn things and it does not come through our five senses?
Okay. Ready, ma'am?
Yes, sir. The human being is a special creature who does not only depend on his five senses. The five senses is the first development for the human. The human is a flesh creature, and then the human is a sense body creature. Sense means that he can sense through his five senses. And then the human being has an additional sense, or he has additional nature. So he not only receives information by the five senses, you are correct. But if we use the senses, we lose them. So there are persons who are, we call clairvoyant, people who have extrasensory perception. And extrasensory perception is a property of all human beings. But if the human being doesn't use it, he loses it. Just as your physical body. If you sit down on your legs for 14 days, you will not be able to stand and walk. Why? Because you didn't use the muscle. So the same thing on a mental level and the same thing on a spiritual level. If we don't use these faculties, we will lose them. And this is what the month of Ramadan is for, is to help us cultivate the other powers in the human nature that are useful. Alhamdulillah. So thank you. That's an excellent question. That's an excellent question. And it's good to bring out the identities that the human being has. Yes, ma'am.
I'm doing that.
Yes, okay.
Uh-huh.
You are blessed.
That understanding.
Yeah, for you?
Yes.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for calling Works Made People.
Thank you. Alhamdulillah.
You're welcome. Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum.
Since you raised that question, let's take it a little further, you know.
Okay.
And I want to say this to the Christian listeners to help them with a better understanding. In the Islamic religion, we do not see the flesh as sinful. I can't say this enough. In Islam, the flesh is not sinful. In Islam, the body is your friend. God gives us a body, and it seems as though that the body is carrying us. You know what I mean? Like a car carries a passenger. We think the body is us. But in reality, you got to be patient with me. In reality, you are carrying the body. And most people, they have questioned this comment. They misunderstood it. And what it is saying, that in reality, you are carrying a body. And if you don't believe it, when you get sleepy, when the mind gets sleepy, what does the body do? The body lays down. And when you wake up, what does the body do? The body gets up. You tell the body to get up. You tell the body to open the door. You tell the body to lift the spoon to your mouth. So the one that is doing the carrying is the consciousness or the spirit that's inside. So it is God that sent into his body from himself the spirit, the purpose, or the will that is to come into that body from God like you get into your car. We have a will to do something, and in us also is God's will. There's two wills in us, our personal will and the will of God. And so I hope I'm not taking you out too far. there's God's will in me, and I have my will in me, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I have my mind in me, and I have God's purpose in me for my mind. You see? All of this is in me.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, it's going to decide my destiny. Whether I decide to go to hell, to paradise or hell, I got to make the decision. But the two things are in me. And that's a blessing for the human being to understand that in him is also God's will, but God would not force you to do this. He'll let you choose. And if you
choose,
he will give you assistance. He will help you to carry out that will.
So now we're talking about here free will, limited free will. I think that's important to touch on because Ramadan is a display of our willingness. So if we can talk about that, the focus, dedication, the submission, other one fasting.
Okay. All right. Now, let me say it to your listeners this way, and you know this to be true. Almost the whole life of the animal is ruled over by the drive to overcome hunger, right? That's what's driving the animal. It drives her. The drive of the flesh for something to satisfy the flesh. Now, if you can control that very powerful drive, it not only gives you the power to withstand the flesh, but it helps you in every way because everything in the universe is related. So if I can control the body, then that's going to affect me and the ability to control my mind, to control my morality, to control my desire. So the fast is increasing the muscle of self-control. And this is the biggest problem for most people.
That's right. Yeah, most societies.
I got military. They say, I love what you say about Islam, but I just can't put down that cigarette. Yes, you can. You just need the power from the fasting of Ramadan. If you can stop drinking water and it's legal, if you can stop eating food and it's legal, if you can stop having sex with your wife and that's legal, then, buddy, you can sure stop smoking a cigarette.
Yes, sir. Yes, right. Yeah, we're coming down to about the last 12 minutes. Do you have any more questions you want to ask? Okay, I guess he'll be right back. But, Brother Man, I'm going to begin. I'm going to take about a minute here and begin a concept, and I'm going to let you finish it. Okay. The mission of Christ Jesus is given to us in the picture language or the revelation of the New Testament. He has this scene that we call the Last Supper.
Yes, sir.
The Last Supper. And we know that Christ Jesus' mission ends with becoming dark. And we have the saying from Bible language, I'm the light of the world as long as I'm in the world. And they say when he was, as they give him this Bible picture, when he gave up the ghost and he died, that it became dark outside.
Right.
So this Last Supper, you know, supper is not breakfast, not lunch. Supper is the evening meal when the sun sets. The Prophet Muhammad's first meal began also in darkness.
Yes.
So can you share with us any connections with the mission of those two great prophets? And it's tied into the Ramadan. Go ahead.
We have in the story of Jesus, and there's a song that many of them sing in Christmas, Holy Night, Silent Night. I know the Christmas day, I'm talking about. Beautiful song.
Mm-hmm.
Night, Holy Night, you know, so on and so forth. And they have that, and it says that a star was seen, and three wise men saw the star, and they went to see the baby in the manger. He was born among animals, which is Christ Jesus. But it started in the night. It wasn't in the day. It was in the night.
Mm-hmm.
And we see the Quran, the same night. The Quran itself began in the night, called Laylatul Qadr. And we set the Quran down in the night of power. So this sacred night and this holy night has to do with civilization when it does not have a prophet which acts as the light. When it says Jesus is the Son of God, in the New Testament, it says, where Jesus says, I am the light of the world as long as I am in the world. That's the Bible. Beautiful people. But what the fault and the confusion is the people are saying that Christ Jesus is the Son of God, spelling it S-O-N, meaning the Father. But in this wonderful passage in the New Testament, where it says Jesus is the light of God, L-I-G-H-T, you then will have to spell it S-U-N. That Jesus is the S-U-N of God. He is the light of God, not the Son of God, but the illumination of light. And when he is alive, then there's no more darkness in the world because he's bringing the light of knowledge and understanding. So we have the same thing in El-Islam. Muhammad the Prophet, he was born, and his mother was the one that was alive, and his father was not alive. When he was born, he didn't have a father. Christ Jesus, he's the mother, but he didn't have a father. Christ Jesus was born in a manger around animals, according to the Christians, they'll tell you this, meaning that these animals commit sin. That's what the interpretation is, that he's around animals. No animal drinks wine, smoke reasons, or rob banks. So, Christ Jesus was born in an environment of truthfulness. And Muhammad the Prophet, when he was born, his father passed away. His mother passed away when he was about five or six years old. and he was raised in the desert, not in the city of Mecca. He was raised in the desert, meaning that he was raised in nature, and nature cannot tell a lie. So both of these prophets, their first upbringing, their first influences was from an environment of truthfulness, honesty, and purity. That is the likeliness of Muhammad the prophet and Christ Jesus. That's how you see their similarity. And I want to say this to you. I'm watching the time. I'm watching it spread. Christ Jesus, he was talking to the people, and one of his disciples came up and said, "Oh, Master, the people are hungry." And Christ Jesus said, "What do we have?" And they told Christ Jesus, "We have two fish and five loaves of bread."
Two fish and five loaves of bread.
Now, in Muhammad the Prophet, when he began the teaching of the Quran, he began with first five verses of the Quran. And it begins with Iqra, Bismi Rabbi Kalati Halaka, in Arabic. But the term is Iqra. And Iqra, if you translate it, one translation is to read, and another translation is to proclaim it. But we take the translation to read. And the reason why I say this, if you take the beef of a bread that Christ Jesus had, if you take the beef on it, what you have left is what? Read, R-E-A-D. Revelation with Muhammad was read. So if you look at Christ Jesus and he had five loaves of bread, and you take the B off, it's letting you know that Christ Jesus' attempt was trying to educate the people. The five loaves of bread is the five senses of the human being that he was trying to appeal to. And Muhammad the prophet made it very clear with the revelation coming that says, read in the name of your Lord. So if you misunderstood what Jesus was talking about, Muhammad helped you. Yeah.
I have a question. Now, so can you say that the five loaves of bread is just an analogy for the five first ayats?
Absolutely. And the point of it being, you take it further for more exactness. You take the five loaves with the two fish and you add the numbers up, what do you get? Seven. And that's exactly the seven verses that begin Al-Fatiha. This is the Muslim Quran.
Yes, sir.
The first chapter in the Muslim Quran is seven verses, meaning that it's talking about the five loaves of bread plus the two fish. And if you count the number of senses that's in your head, you have one ear on the right, second ear on the left, that's two, one eye on the right, one eye on the left, that's four, one nostril on the right, one nostril on the left, that's six, and one mouth opening, that's a total of seven. And those are the seven ways in which information gets inside the human being. That's the seven in the Bible. That's the five fish and, I'm sorry, the five loaves of bread and the five fish. And Al-Fatiha, if you translate Al-Fatiha into English, it means the opening. And the seven holes in your head that I was talking about are the seven openings in which information gets into the mind of the human being. I hope I'm telling you.
Alhamdulillah. Yes.
Listeners have to visualize it. But I know.
Well, I say it this way here. Sometimes you have to cast your seeds broad, you know. Some going to take root today and some going to take root tomorrow, but you can't, just share it. Now, we're down to they tell me on my computer screen we got about 3 minutes left. So let's kind of, if we can, give a summation. The main thing was to look at do's and don'ts of Ramadan and some of the meaning. So when we go into this month of fasting, we can go into it with richness, purpose, understanding. So I know it's going to be kind of hard, but you want to take a minute and two and give a closing statement on this conversation?
Yes. Thank God for giving us Ramadan that gives me the opportunity to be myself, the first self that God made. I'm 70 years old. I've been made by television, by movies, and I'm my original self. And every time I take fast of Ramadan, it makes me more and more the person that God made me at first, and less
the
hope has made me. That makes me excited. That makes me excited.
Sir.
If you die on the first way that God made you, and you die that way, you go straight to paradise. That should be enough to excite anybody.
Yes, sir.
Yep.
Give us a few words if you can on.
You go straight to paradise.
Yes, sir. Very good. Just a couple of words, if you can, on the Eid al-Fitr, the celebration at the end of Ramadan.
Yes. The Eid al-Fitr is the celebration, victory of nature. That now here's a person that fasted this month of Ramadan, and they have attained the victory of nature. Didn't smoke cigarettes, didn't drink wine, didn't lie, cheat, steal. They are at 40 and 50 and 70 years old, the same innocent child that they came into the world the day they were born. That is the greatest accomplishment you can have, to be at the age you are now with the innocence of the day that you were born. There's nothing greater than that. No money is greater than that. No power is greater than that. Nope.
Yes,
but I wish I had more time. I could explain that.
Well, you know, maybe we can bring you back next week, so we'll be interested on that.
Yes, sir.
Well, you know, maybe it's time to remember that, but we're down to our last minute, and so I do want to say thank you, Brother Imam Nasser Akhmed, for coming with us, sharing with us this wisdom in so many ways and forms that we can really apply it to our lives. And we give thanks to our listening audience as well for tuning in to Work Made People. And,
yes,
thank you. Yes, sir. Yeah, thank you. So please tune in next week for another segment of Work Made People. Who knows? Depending upon the doctor's schedule, we may have him back. I don't know. But
next week,
yes,
I'm going to be near you the whole weekend in Chicago, the whole seminar to be in Chicago.
Oh, will you? Okay, okay.
Yes, sir.
Okay, until next time, we say to our listeners, Assalamu alaikum. Thank you, Brother Imam. Thank you very much. Okay. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Adventure is in the air with a Happy Camper scratch-off from the Hoosier Lottery. It's a time for open roads and opportunities around every corner. 346 vacation pictures, 108 songs in your playlist, 8 crackling campfires, and plenty of smiles in between. When you add it all up, it makes for one happy camper. Play Happy Camper for chances to win up to $10,000 and count on fun with every adventure that lies ahead. The Happy Camper scratch-off from the Hoosier Lottery. Imagine that. Must be 18 or older to play. Please play responsibly.